is the Schaefer Baseball Report, an inside look at America's pastime. From Little League all the way to the big leagues. Now here's your hosts, former Major League infielder Jeff Schaefer and Tommy the V. Viola.
All right, welcome everybody to podcast number 27.
Of Vladimir Guerrero.
Ooh, come on, Ray.
27.
Yeah, I got an old Yankee.
You know where I got mine from?
Yeah, Google.
No, not Google. Google. No, not Google. Backyard baseball, man.
What?
Did your boys used to play that game?
What game?
It's on the computer. Like, I played when I was like...
Computer.
No, computer. No, I was like, I was like six years old.
He had Atari.
I was like 6 years old when I played that.
Catfish Hunter.
Catfish.
No, you're going to kill me on this one. If you're
yeah, to so what's going to happen when we get to like... well, we got so many guys in the big leagues now wearing numbers like, you know...
99.
Yeah, yeah. Let me go up to 99. Nobody's worn 100 in the big leagues. We can't do zero.
Why not?
Well, because there's no zero shows. You got to have a show.
Yeah,
we can't, right. So this is number 27. Andrew, our numbers are good, huh?
They're good. They're growing.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. It's spreading. People are sharing it. I keep running into people that say, hey, I listen to the podcast. And I guess they're enjoying the gunslinging, free-spirited, say what you got to say. So, but here, One Tool Andrew and Ray Torres for our second appearance.
That's right.
Last time in Cary. So,
getting used to this.
Yeah, man. So, by the way, congratulations to Coke and Body Armor. So,
thank you. Thank you. It's exciting times and a lot more information coming down the pipeline. So, we see what the future holds for Body Armor. And, it's definitely growing and it's coming after Gatorade. So, Gatorade's better watch out.
You know my thing. Gatorade gave me a... I can't say that on it. Can I get a lot of trouble?
Yeah,
I better not say that.
Yeah.
I'll say that just to you guys.
Yeah, there you go.
So, but it put me in the hospital. No, I'm kidding. So, well, congratulations and
congrats on your you going to wherever you went to for your vacation.
Oh yeah, man! You found out when you were on vacation.
Oh,
didn't
I did
you?
Find out when I was on vacation. I got a phone call at 6 a.m. Well, I got a text message at 6 a.m. and it was kind of, not happy that I was getting a work text. But then when I realized what it was about, I was ready to go.
Yeah, sometimes the phone rings and you look at the phone and you go, God, do I answer this? I don't know what this is. And then you answer it and you go like, God, I shouldn't have answered it. Then other times you answer it like, whoa, good thing I answered that.
Well, what, 10, 15 years ago, you go on vacation, you out of touch. And by the time you get back.
Smoke signals, man.
Yeah, I was wondering. Yeah. I was like, if I didn't have phone service in Mexico.
And that didn't mean anything, smoke signals. Just so you know, okay? That was just, off a bonfire. So, well, cool, man. This is we're excited. This is number 27. We've been rocking and rolling with the podcast, and like I said, having a lot of fun. We've had some good guests. We've been in some different places, and we're done with our Cary adventure. Our NTIS. We actually will probably take 2 weeks off from there and flip around, reboot, and start the process again. A lot of work, but rewarding once we get to carry and be around the kids.
Absolutely, and nobody see all the work that you guys do behind the scenes. You, Andrew, Sue, definitely Sue, more work than of you guys. But
she's useless.
But it's a year long process, and I mean, you guys put you're up there for about a month, but you guys starting for next year, and it's exciting because you guys giving kids an opportunity to get to the next level where they want to get to.
How many organizations out there actually take the time to put a process together that makes a kid earn his way all the way to the end result?
None.
So, we're proud of that. We filter out, and there's 16 regions across the country. I think we're going to consolidate a few because, things like the Mountain West with Idaho and Colorado and stuff like that. It's a little bit vast, and it's tough to pull all the talent in. So, struggle with North Florida a little bit, believe it or not.
I know, that's surprising.
Yeah, I think it has. I think North Florida has a lot to do with the timing of their tryouts for their fall and summer, and I guess more for their fall because they run their tryouts pretty much the same time that we run our 15s and 16s down there to carry. So, but there's such good talent down there that we'll penetrate it, we'll get it, we'll figure a way, and people will start to realize, which people are doing.
Yep.
They're starting to realize like this isn't no joke. Listen, everything in this business of youth baseball, amateur baseball, there's money being made. There has to be money being made, right? And I don't fault anybody for that. When you're making money for USA Baseball because we have to fund our national teams, that's a different story to me. I mean, so when somebody goes, oh, you know, you can't do that. That's a, you know, it's a cash grab. But don't go there. You don't need that. You know, you're assisting. You know, you're part of putting our team internationally and winning gold medals.
And it's what you guys are doing and what everyone else is doing around the country. It's showing dividends because 12 U won gold, 15 U won gold, 18 U is getting ready to go to Panama, I think, in November. So, you know. It's all the hard work, again, throughout the year, you know, running these tryouts and, you know, filtering the talent for USA Baseball to filter a team to pick the top 20 guys. And those guys do a great job, too, of, you know, looking for the talent all around the country. But you guys are bringing them to their backyard so they can pick the best talent so they can win gold.
Don't forget World Baseball Classic. The pros are part of our program, too.
Oh, that's right.
So it's not funded by MLB. They're part of it and they're involved in it. But, you know, we help fund that whole process you know, so we are proving that that USA is dominant in the game, even though, you know, we see quite a few Latino countries really putting out some amazing product and some exciting players. But, you know, winning the World Baseball Classic last year, too. So we're full of gold, man. I can make a grill with all that gold, man. You get, like, bling chains and, you know.
I was talking to one of the task force guys, and he said the most – improved region this year in his eyes was North Atlantic. I think they had a much better showing this year than past years.
We're creeping into those states. There have been some states in the past that have been damaged by people that have been involved because they really just kind of looked at the process for their own benefit.
Right.
And so we've had to go in and we've had to repair, and we continue to repair. But, you know, I think we have definitely turned the corner. We're getting ready to break through the ceiling with everything that we're doing, and more people are getting involved. Listen, I tell – and you heard it, Ray, when we were speaking to the families down there. I tell these parents, listen, if there's a coach out there that's telling your kid not to be involved and not to try out for USA Baseball, well, then that guy's selfish and he's out there for his own good. Because if he says, oh, you can't go do that, we have this big tournament this weekend. Right, so you go down to this big tournament, and you know, in 10, 15 years, you're not going to remember anything about that tournament. But what you will remember is I went to USA and to USA Complex in Cary, North Carolina, and you know, I played with guys I've never played with before. I've played against kids from all across the country. Legit, you know, when people call tournaments World Series, isn't it? I mean, it's a joke, right? So you know, you're not a World Series. I mean, you're not even a national event. I'll say PG has a national event because they bring kids.
Yeah.
You know. They bring teams in from all over the place. But what they can do is anybody that has a team can go. If you got a glove and a bat, you can put a team together and get into PG and tell everybody you're involved in a national event. So, but when you're involved in the USA stuff, it's all vetted. These kids have gone through a process.
Absolutely. And it also gives the kids an opportunity, you know, it's every kid's dream to put those three letters across their chest. And, you know, for that one weekend, they get to feel – probably a portion of what USA has to offer, and they get that experience, and they get that, you know, they feel good about being out there in Cary and you know, just trying to have a tryout for USA. They can take that, you know, for the rest of their lives and tell their kids, yeah, I tried out for USA Baseball.
I always tell the parents at the end, you know, because parents want to judge on everything that goes on. We're so scholarship driven, and you know, who's here and what's going on in this process, and the parents behind the dugout or the chain link, regardless of where you're at, it could be a perfect game, it could be a PBR event, it could be a CBC event, it could be a BIC event. It doesn't matter where you're, you know, where you're at. Somebody behind the fence is going to have an opinion, and it's never always going to be positive, right?
Of course.
But if you ask the kids, and I tell the parents before you even say a word to anybody, when the kid gets in the car, ask the kid if they had a good time.
That's it.
And if they said, I had a great time, then what are you worried about? Who is there? You know, we've lost touch with the fact that we have to play this game to get better. We don't have to play this game in front of anybody to get better. We play this game in the backyard and get better.
That's right. I mean, we did it. You know, growing up, I mean, it was a matter of, you know, who was the best guy in the backyard or the schoolyard, you know? And if that guy was, you know, the best guy around, you wanted to beat that guy so you could have that acknowledgement that you was the best for that day at least.
Yeah, well, listen, you made it right. You start off in the backyard, then you move to the schoolyard, then you move down to the big yard,
don't
then you get into
the
field in the woods. I was telling somebody the other day where, you know, where I grew up in Patchogue, you know, years back, remember the mailman or whoever it was, they used to go around and deliver detergent. So, you know, the laundry detergent.
Oh, man, he's going way back now.
Yeah, I'm going way back, right? So we had bikes then because we delivered newspapers. Everybody didn't read it online. I had a newspaper route. My friends had a newspaper route. So we had bikes with baskets on the back and baskets on the front. The mailman was like our buddy. And now I think about it, he's probably like 23, 24 years old. We thought he was a man. He was a kid. And he would tell us, hey, the soap powder's coming out tomorrow. So we would all get up early, like when it was dark, get on our bikes, ride all through the neighborhood, get all the soap powder from every place that got delivered, and then we would go into the field that we had, and we'd line our own field.
Oh my God.
So we made our own batter's boxes, we made our own foul line. It was the coolest thing until it rained, and then it was like foam and bubbles everywhere. You know. But you know, I mean, those are things that, you know, that, you know, you talk about going from the backyard to the to the schoolyard to the, you know, the yard that we built.
And there was no parents back then. No fighting for your kid to play. Hey.
Right. So it goes back to, you know, part of the thing is we've lost touch of the experiences of the game. Mm-hmm. Right. We played the game because we love to play the game. I got a chance to play in the Connie Mack World Series. And it's funny because Ken Coyle, who coached with us at USA Baseball, who's up out of the Raleigh area, connected with Ken through Pete Sinopoli, who was my college teammate who played on the first USA national team. So, I mean, you see how the baseball just keep connecting people. But, I got a chance to play on the Connie Mack World Series team with Neil Heaton. We went out. We won the whole thing.
In New Mexico?
Yeah, in New Mexico.
Yeah, I played in that one, too.
So, for us to get out there, we had to beat Ken Coyle's team. And I get a text when we're sitting there 40 years ago. It still burns me.
Hey, that's when you know you did something right, when they remember it 40 years later.
Right. So that was an experience. But I didn't go out there or play or do any of that, you know, because I was going to get recruited. I didn't get recruited. You know, I had zero offers to play in college.
Wow.
Yeah. And, but we also had Neil Heaton on the team. And that didn't do us any good because what was coming to see Neil pitch were major league scouts. I was, 150 pounds, 145 pounds, maybe, soaking wet. But, you know, my point being is I went out there because here's a great experience. You know, we ran through the island. We had to go in and beat the team out of the city. And if we won in the city, we won our region.
Keep moving
on. And we got to go out to Farmington, New Mexico, a bunch of kids from Long Island. First thing we did when we got off the plane in Farmington, New Mexico, went and bought cowboy hats. So we were walking around like with wife beaters, tight jeans, sneakers, and cowboy hats. We thought we were fitting in.
Well, that was all my tournaments coming up. Like, I came up through the CABA, Continental Amateur Baseball Association, and you had to win your region, your city, then you had to go to your region, and then you go to, a World Series, so to say, into a rural part of the Midwest somewhere, and all the teams, and that was something that you felt good about because you earned your way there.
Listen, you put a group of kids, especially back then, from Long Island or Brooklyn or Staten Island or something like that, on a plane, and you send them west of New Jersey. Oh. You've freaking gone a long way, man.
Absolutely.
You know, you're like, you're going into a whole new, it's like you're getting on a rocket ship and going to the moon. You have no idea where you're going or what you're doing. So the experiences are all there, and we've lost that. You know, everybody sits in the stands and wants to know. Like, I get emails all the time for our BIC showcase, which is coming up November 3rd and 4th at Jack Hughes here in Charlotte. And, of course, that's set up for recruiting purposes. Mm-hmm. But the emails are, can you give me a list of schools that are going to be there? Can you give me a list? Well, how about you tell me who your kid is, and I'll tell you if any of these schools even fit.
That's right.
You know, his tools. So, I mean, that's where we're at now. That's where we're doing the showcase thing, and we're, and everybody's kind of, so bent on this.
And you know what? I'll take it even a step further. What we've lost in this, what I'm seeing as I'm going through it with my boy is that we lost of, like you just said, your buddy just texts you 40 years later that still burns you. These kids don't have it anymore where they lose a game. They just pack their bag, they get in the car, and don't even think about it anymore. I know if I lost a game in high school or wherever, I would think about it. I mean, as a coach, I think about it still. We lose a game. I'm thinking about it that night. I'm calling the coach. What could we have done? It just burns me, that competitive nature of, so the showcase, the tournament, it's just bringing the point where these kids lost that sensibility of feeling a loss. Because, hey, all right, you lost today on Monday. No big deal because all we have to do is just win our poll and we get into the playoffs. And the kids play. Then if they lose on Thursday, and we're talking about, a week-long event, they lose, the last day, they're already so tired that they go into the eighth and ninth game where they lose. They go, okay, we're going home now, right?
Yeah, don't tell me about tired, man. That eats me.
Oh, yeah,
more
I know.
Than anything else. I mean, these are kids. I'm tired at 58. I should be tired at 58.
That's right.
I'm not tired at 15, 16, 17 years old. I would have played every single day, anywhere,
you had to pull
at any
me
time.
Everywhere.
No kidding. Yeah. You know, I mean, we got done with school. You know, you did your homework if you did your homework.
Yeah.
And then you
kids
jumped,
do your homework.
Then you jumped out on the street and you played until it was dark. And then you couldn't wait till the next day. Or when you were done, got in the house, you went downstairs in the basement and you threw the ball off the wall.
Off the wall. Played the nine in the game.
Or you roller skate. You did whatever. Not these guys, man. So yeah. When they say, I'm tired or I'm a little bit tender, that's the other part. I'm just like, I'm blown away by, you know, oh, my arm hurts a little bit, or I'm a little bit tender. Like, we have built this into these kids' heads.
Oh, yeah.
To know that, not to know the difference between an ache
and
a pain
and
a pain,
yeah,
or really being injured.
Yes.
You know.
Because you're supposed to, I mean, we play the game. You play through, you know, pains and aches and sometimes even through injury. You know what I mean? The first moment that, you know, I get it. You know, these kids are more specialized and they play a lot longer where, you know, they start feeling something in discomfort. They know they have another 4 or 5 months where if we were playing and we get injured in July, we're like, hey, ball's over.
The same guy that delivered us was the guy telling us if we were hurt or not.
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, I mean, you're playing in the street and all of a sudden, you know, a guy slides and there's a bone sticking out of his leg. You go, okay, he's hurt.
Yeah.
But if he's like, oh, my arm's sore, it's like, you know, I mean, we got all kinds of terms for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but, you know, you start dropping that on him. But, you know, it's difficult at times.
Absolutely.
You know? But when you get in the environment like we get in and carry, and you get around a group of kids, and you can talk to these kids, you know, because and then they find it. I mean, it was great. You're talking about the North Atlantic. I mean, we had majority of Latino kids, which came with energy, came with talent. What they didn't come with was a whole bunch of discipline, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, but you had to talk to them about discipline. And the other thing that they didn't have, and maybe it was part of their enjoyment of what they were doing right then and there, is they didn't really see a future. You know, they didn't see that, hey, there's opportunity for me to get out of what I'm doing, to get out of the situation, go, because what those guys were experiencing in Cary was just that. It was an experience.
That's right. Well, I mean, you nailed it on the head. I mean, the Latin ball player, or, you know, a lot of the guys from the Northeast have just that, you know, swag, you would say, you know, that they could just, you know, at the moment, you know, they look it, because you got to remember, these guys are always in a, you know, they're fighting for something every single day. They're fighting for, you know, to be seen. So when they do have that opportunity to get seen, they want to put the best foot forward. But now you make it longer for a 4-day event where you got to do it every single day. Now that's where it gets tough, where these guys are like, that's the discipline.
Yeah,
that's,
that was the part.
Where it separates, you know, just that one, you know, just that one day showcase guy, or, you know, I mean, hey, you got the tools now. Hey, let's put the tools. Now you got to play with a team. Now you got to play with 9 other guys behind you. Now you got to do it. You know, now you got to sacrifice yourself for the team.
Yeah, they, you know, going through the tryouts, and you look at that team and you go, holy cow.
Yes.
And then we did our pro style day one, and you look at those guys and you're like, okay, we're going to run through some people
here. Yeah.
And then you get them into the game situation, and you got to realize that, you know, it's an undisciplined baseball player is not a good baseball player.
And then when you got, you know, quite a few guys that's undisciplined, now you got a problem.
But, you know, we had a good chance to reel them in. They competed. Obviously, we did very well with the North Atlantic on all age levels. And
kudos to Chris Reyes up there.
Oh, Chris Reyes and Angel Lugo. Are you kidding? Absolutely. what they've done? And, you know, even Frank Sataglio out of Baseball Heaven on Long Island. I mean, you know, the talent is starting to come out. We're getting more inquiries about it. But I did want to jump over to some of the other things that we have going on. You know, we talked about our best-in-class showcases. And, mm-hmm. You know, that is exactly what it is. It's an individual player showcase. We'll have college coaches here November 3rd and 4th at Jack Hughes Stadium here in Pineville, which is just really a hamlet of Charlotte. Great facility, right around the corner from CBC. And, you know, we don't flood the market with these events. What we do is we try to, just like USA Baseball, there's an end game, and it's been, you know, it's a positive. It's once, you know, I mean, we're there for 3 weeks with many different age groups, but, you know, but the same thing with, you know, with Best in Class and our nonprofit You Deserve a Chance Foundation and all the organizations that we enjoy playing against and developing kids, is we're just trying to put ourselves in the best situations around the best people, around the best quality events that are out there. And, you know, I think we've built best in class that way. I mean, we've, You know, it looks like we're going to bring in Rasputo, which is a new technology that's, you know, measuring, you know, spin rates and all this other stuff. They were in here last night. Prospect USA, which is Paul Mead group, and, you know, us, along with making it an identifier for the teams that we take down to Florida.
Yeah, and I think that's what separates, you know, the BIC showcase that we got coming up in November, is that we get to identify some of the, you know, some of the top players around, that we could invite them down to Florida to give them another opportunity to be in front of the USA scouts and the coaches, to mm-hmm. to give them that opportunity for next summer to either get selected for the NTDP or for the 15U national team, or the TOS to get an invite, because we've been fortunate enough the last 3 years that we've been taking teams down to Jupiter, you know, every June for the East Coast Championship for USA Baseball. And this year we got 3 guys selected. Last year we had 6 guys selected. Mm-hmm. The previous year we had 5 guys selected. So do the numbers.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That's how we do math around.
Come on, Andrew. What are you doing? You're supposed to be running this team. Stuff. Yeah, there you go.
Work that calculator.
Yeah, so you know, we have identified the players, the right players to go down to Jupiter. And we have had, as Andrew just said, 14 guys selected, you know, for an NTDP or 15U trials.
Yeah.
And we've earned the respect when we go down there that, you know, USA Baseball knows that we are going to bring talent down there, and we're going to be competitive. So
and we bring them down there under the best in class.
Yes.
We don't bring them down on the CBC. We don't use BIC or any of these events to poach players. We are not that organization. We don't sit back and make a list of kids that we like and go, get their phone number, let me call them.
Absolutely not.
Over here and do whatever. And that's not our makeup. You know, our thing is that, you know, we host events. We do these events for every kid that's out there to get the opportunity to be exposure to the next level or the experiences of USA Baseball.
Exactly.
You know, I got up this morning I started it last night, but I got up this morning and I pumped on over 100 college coaches about one player, you know, that's definitely that level player. And, I hit send and I go in and take a shower and I come back out and I got 15 return emails, you know, yeah, what's the schedule? I like this kid. I love the video. You know, how do we reach out to him? So, you know, that's it. On top of it, at the bottom of that email, I sent out that we had a catcher out of Georgia that doesn't play for me, that will never play for us, you know. And I put his contact information down there, like, reach out for this kid. Like, you know, it isn't about just us or our organization. And, you know, we do that with CBC as well, with BIC, best in class. So we go through the best in class process. We're not a cattle call. You know, we're not just throwing it out there and like anybody that has a glove and spikes in a bat, come on out and run around in front of college coaches. I don't want to waste college coaches' time.
And that's what I respect you for that.
You know, so we put on an event and we ask people to request an invite and then we vet. Yeah. You know, you'll see all these other organizations. I don't say all of them. I'll say 99.9 of them that call that say, hey, request an invite. I'm not requesting an invite. They're capturing data just so they can pump out for more events, and everybody gets an invite. You know, I mean, it's it's not even they're vetting the players. We're trying to bring the best players we possibly can to this event so these college guys can make a decision on all these kids right there and not just, you know, a bunch of X's. It's like going to a head first event, right? You go to a head first event, high academic event, you got 250 guys there. There may be 25 guys that could play. But they don't care. You got $1,000? Come on, brother.
That's right.
So, you know.
It's the nature of the beast. I mean, you just said it. It's a money big. It's a business now. You know, and everybody wants to get their hand in the cookie jar.
Listen, it is a business. We're in business. You know, there's no doubt about it. I just, and so is the car dealership, and so is the grocery store, and so is everything else. I just know that when I go to buy a car, I want to buy a quality car.
That's right.
So if I'm going to pay that kind of money to do something, I want the right product, and that's what's happening. People are paying. They're paying steak prices for hamburger.
Yep. And I think you just nailed it on the head. I think once the parents and once everyone sees it out in the market that, like you just said, it's a business. You know what I mean? You're trying to, you know, promote something and also provide a service, where a lot of people are just trying to promote something, not provide that service, where they're saying, oh, it's not a business. We're trying to help your kid. But at the end of the day, it is a business.
Sure it is.
You want as many you want the numbers to be as high as possible so you could just –
Stay in business.
So once the parents and once people know, hey, these guys are doing it, for a business and they are making money off it, okay, that's fine. But if you're going to provide a quality product for my kid, I don't mind paying a premium price.
And a lot of times now that people are so, what they'll do is they'll go see the premium player, right? Mm-hmm. And they'll offer him, come here for free.
Yes.
So they can attract everything else underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter. They got the one guy there and they don't care whatever else. Just bring me the volume.
Yes.
So if they see that, so that, you know, that's an unfortunate hook, and that's what's involved in our game. You deserve a chance, Foundation. You know, we want to talk about money and, you know, making money. Again, 99.9% of the guys out there don't give anything back. You know, there are guys out there that we know that, you know, we got a lot of respect for, that we get it. We take, you know, to CBC, we take a hit every year on our bottom line, because we will never let a kid not play because he can't afford to play. Won't happen. So we, you know, developed You Deserve a Chance Foundation over 5 years ago. And what has happened has just been phenomenal. One of the things that we do this November, so November 3rd and 4th is our Best in Class Showcase. November 9th is our Home Plate Gala. It's You Deserve a Chance Home Plate Gala. It's a formal, it's an adult night out. You know, there's adult beverages, and it is a wild, fun time. It's funny because everybody shows up all, you know, all proper and formal, and, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, cocktails roll and, you know, wallets open and, you know, we get going. But we use that along with other things to raise funds to help not only with kids' tuitions to play, because it, you know, it costs to go to all these different places. We've bought equipment. We've picked up hotel rooms. And this isn't just our kids. I mean, there's organizations inside of Charlotte where we're at that we've helped families with other places and other situations. So I say that in a broad sense because I don't want to say, you know, what organizations and who, but, you know, figure it out. I mean, it's, you know, it's there. But so we've had some great successes. This year we're really, really going to have a good night. Because, well, let me go back. In the past, we have a Spirit of the Game Award. You know, we give the Spirit of the Game Award away to somebody that you know, shows what the spirit of the game really is. Year one was Tom Walter, who's the head coach of Wake Forest. We gave him the award. He donated his kidney to a player, right?
That's amazing.
Yep. And then the second year was Chris Singleton, whose mom was the pastor killed in the Charleston Church Massacre that, you know, unites a city. You know, in a time that it could have been, you know, it could have been a race war over something like that. And this young man was just, he was powerful. And he's returning. Tom's returning.
And Chris, talk about 6 months later, you know what I mean? Right. Getting into the draft. Right. What are you guys doing? Help him out as far as, you know what I mean? It's what we're talking about.
And I'm proud of that. I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because I will tell that story. You know, we got to know Chris and his family really well because we filled the whole table with his family that night, mm-hmm. to give him the award. So, you know, the draft is coming up. This was November. The draft comes up in June. We get a phone call from Chris and says, hey, man, you know, I just want you to know, because he's at Charleston Southern mm-hmm. at the time, that I've been invited to the Cubs pre-draft workout. So, you know, the Cubs can't pay for somebody to get there, but they have the pre-draft workout. If you can get there, you're in. So, you know, we were thrilled for him. And he said, I can't go, can't afford to go. So in the process through UDACF and raising funds and doing things for other people, we paid for his flight. We picked up his hotel room and we gave him a card, a Visa card to eat on the whole time. 2 weeks later, he was drafted by the Cubs. He's in the system. So, you know, whether this kid makes it to the big leagues or not, you know, what he will do in this life because of the tragedy that he went through and how he turned it into something positive is going to be amazing. And it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, he has that presence. He's articulate, and it's sincere. It's in his heart. So after that, year three, we had Landon Powell. And Landon Powell is the head coach down in North Greenville, doing wonderful things down there. Took a program that was in the dust and resurrected it, and was ranked number one in the country for a period of time last year. And you know, he's a good Christian guy, and he's, you know, he's constantly touching people's lives in different ways and, you know, than others that we've given the award to. But him and his wife Allison were here for that night. But this year, right, we have you know, two things. We have a keynote speaker, and then we have the Spirit of the Game Award winner. The Spirit of the Game Award winner was the clubhouse kid when I first got to Charlotte as a AA rookie. and watch this kid go on a baseball journey that's just been unbelievable, and now he is the manager of the St. Louis Cardinals.
No more interim tag, by the way.
No more interim tag.
This is our first podcast since he got announced as manager.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, they pull that. No, we've done something before
that.
No kidding, man, because he's like 30 games. And he's turned that whole organization. I think they're a half game out of the wild card now. So Mike Schilt is getting the Spirit of the Game Award. We chose Mike before he was even the bench coach with Mike Matheny. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's sitting in seat number one, you know, in the dugout. And so he's getting the award. He's a Charlotte native, obviously. And, you know, it's for awesome. for me, it's like, you know, I mean, we're great friends. We've been friends for over 30 years. But for me, it's like watching my son go through this because he was, you know, he was 12 or 13 when I first met him. And I was, you know, 22 or 23. And, you know, you never know. The keynote speaker was my college teammate who went on to pitch in the big leagues for a little bit, played about 5 years in pro ball, got up to the big leagues for about a month with Milwaukee, left there. Good fortune, he turned into an executive movie producer, and he produced The Rookie,
no kidding,
Miracle, Invincible, Secretariat, and Chappaquiddick. That's out now.
All great movies.
So yeah, so he's gonna be the keynote guy, you know, it's fun. All my Terp teammates from back then, I say all of them, the guys that we bust on every day on our feeds. They bought a table. You know, we have tables that, you know, you can sit with the keynote speaker. We have a table out there. If you want to, somebody wants to step up and sit with Mike Schilt and his guest.
Body Armor, you know.
Yeah, you know, that table is there. I mean, we have college coaches. We got former recipients. We have high school coach tables. We got a lot of, you know, we're always looking for sponsorship. We're always looking to do the right thing because every penny that we bring in here, we send out. Mm-hmm. Nobody takes a thing in here. It doesn't benefit any of us. It benefits kids. We're just a conduit. We actually have MLB flying in today. We had a meeting at 6:30 at the Westmac Optimist Park where we secured all the property and we bought the house and all that other stuff. And they're coming in to actually see that it is a physical
thing.
And we have a big grant in for them. And fingers crossed that that pops, because if that pops, then Charlotte's not seen anything like this. And, you know, in the past, and it's all through the nonprofit, which is going to allow us to do things not only for the community up there, but for, you know, anybody in baseball. You know, we're tied in tight with MLBPA, which is the Players Association, so we'll see programming funds from them. We'll you know, we'll make a difference in kids' lives just because they can afford to do it. That brings me to a point. Are we good on time?
Yeah, we're good.
We're always good on time because we control the time, don't we?
We
control
the time. We go hours.
So, you know, I want to talk to you about rankings, okay?
Oh, okay.
All right, so I know. We're going to get there. And I'm not baiting you. I'm throwing this out. But my thing with rankings is, you know, there's so many kids out there that can't afford to go to these events. You can't go to a PG ranking thing. And don't give me that PG. I'm 100 ranked PG and I'm 85th ranked PBR and I'm ranked here and there. That's all BS, man, because you can't rank correctly unless you've seen
everyone
player out
absolutely
there, right? So you can do it at the big league level. You can probably do it somewhat to the college level.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't do it at the high school level, but you can get a pretty good barometer at the high school level.
Yeah.
But you know, there's a lot of people that are just, you don't see every single team. You don't see all that, but at the college level, you got somebody pretty much watching every single team, especially at the Division I level. And then obviously in the big leagues, you know, you got a million eyes on
absolutely. Everybody
every single day. But, you know, doing what we're doing with UDACF and the complex, you know, that we're putting together, kids that never would have had a chance to get involved in a ranking system, right, now get a chance to get exposure.
That's awesome.
And we'll never rank them. I'll never rank a kid, you know. I mean, you can grade them, you know, like scouts do. You grade them out, but you don't rank them.
Yeah, I agree. I think the grading system, it should be – It's a tool where the family and the kid could take back and use as a resource and an evaluation from where was I last year to going to the next event and taking the, you know, your new grade and just using it as, all right, I'm getting better. Hey, I went from a 45 arm to a 50 arm. That's
right.
Great.
Right.
You know, instead of just putting a ranking, you know what I mean? And it's all, you know, subjective to a guy sitting behind a computer and, hey, I like this kid, so I'm going to move him up. Or, you know what?
He's been to X amount of events and spent X amount of money.
Yeah, oh, he went to my events and he accepts every event that we send him, you know, that we send the invite to, and he signs up and he pays the money. And you know what? We got to do the right thing by him. So, because if we don't, he's not gonna sign up for the next event. And I get it. Again, as we talked about, it's a business, you know. Mm-hmm. And if we take it for what it's worth as a business, okay, great. And you know, but also we have to call it what it is. You know, if you are gonna be doing the ranking, you should do it, you know, across the board the right way. Match everybody up on their numbers.
Yeah, don't tell me a kid's throwing 78 and he's pounding the zone, and then he's pitching backwards and he's dropping his curveball in the strike zone at a 2-0 count or a 1-0 count or an 0-0 count, something like that, when the kid really has no chance of going.
You're right.
You know, I mean, that's the part that's most difficult is, you know, there's no honesty in here. If you were selling your product, right?
Yes.
Body Armor Wrap, and you lied about the product all the time.
I would be
just
out of business.
Just to try to get in there, it wouldn't last very long, would it?
I would get – it's and sales is called the resell. It's easy to sell something the first time.
Right.
You know, I can sell you anything the first time, you know. But when I come back to you the next month and I try to get you to buy it, you're going to be like, hey, you sold me crap. Why am I going to buy it from you?
Right.
You know what I mean? So, all right, I got your money up front, but you know, I'm not going to get your long-term money. I think that's where a lot of people are missing the boat, where it's long-term. And it's easy to do it with the high school kids and the kids and the youth level, because – these kids run out of time.
Yeah, and then you recycle.
Then you recycle.
Sure.
So by the time these kids get 16, 17, and they figure out the system, it's gone because
it's fresh meat. You're a hunter and you go into the forest and you shoot a deer. It's not a deer you've been tracking for 15 years, right?
Yep.
And then you're hoping to find another one in the next 15 years. That deer's dead, and then here comes another one. Then here comes another one, and here comes another one.
That's right.
So, and that's what happens with the families. And, you know, a lot more times than not, these parents – get more bent out of shape about, you know, where their kids are ranked and how things are going, but they're not the educated parent.
Yes.
Not the baseball parent.
Yes.
There's a difference there, because it's just a guy that's, you know, hey, my kid, somebody told me my kid's good, I need to go to this event, I go to this event, and all of a sudden there's, you know, listen, I saw and I'll call him out, you know, I mean, and I like Todd Fine, and I think Brandon Hall's a great guy and you know, and doing the right thing, and they're in business. And I've had this conversation with Brandon, and you know, and he was very upfront and honest about it. But how do you rank a kid 400?
Why even rank him 400?
Why rank? Like, I'm going to walk around saying I'm number 400 ranked kid in the state of South Carolina or North Carolina or something like that. Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, listen, if you want to put top 10, top 20, top 50, even top 100, you know, if you're in the top 100 of any state or in the country, that's pretty worthy of saying, hey, I'm in the top 100.
Yeah, if you're in the top 100 of just left-handed pitchers, then that's a different story.
Oh, that's a different, yeah.
Yeah, if you're a top 100 of just shortstops, then that's a different story.
Absolutely.
But if you're the top 100 of all positions involved, then, you know, that's pretty respectable.
Absolutely. You know, so I get that. But, you know, once you start dropping kids to 200, 300, 400, what are we doing now? You know what I mean? Like, you're just telling the kid, like, hey, thanks for your money. You're horse trash. You know, don't even come back.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And Major League scouts are not, you know, qualified guys that have been to scout school and all this other stuff, and not making decisions on the rankings.
No, I don't think they're looking at that ranking at all. I mean, again, the ranking system plays to the parents and to the kids, so they could just look to their buddy and just say, hey, I'm ranked X, Y, and, you know, I'm ranked, you know, 50th in this, you know, it's just a matter of stroking, you know, just for them to feel good. But again, like you just said, the kid that's ranked 400, you know, will that kid ever say he's ranked?
Will he ever play in college?
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, you know, you got 33,000 college roster spots, and that's taken up by seniors, juniors, sophomores, and freshmen. So get rid of the sophomores, the juniors, and the seniors, and now you're down to that number.
Yep.
And you're ranked 400? You know, I don't think that's happening.
Listen, 3 years ago, Logan Davis, and I mean, probably one of the top players to come out of Charlotte in the last 4 years. I mean, the kid was a stud, switching to shortstop.
Yep.
I mean, no one knew who he was. Oh, well, I don't want to say no one. I'm going to rephrase from saying that. If you looked at the perfect game, his perfect game profile, his senior year of the fall, he's probably ranked God knows where. Mm-hmm. And then if you went to every high school game that spring, every Major League scout was there. Mm-hmm. So who's right and who's wrong? Did the Major League scouts know something that – I mean, why? So how can you rate that kid so low when in the spring you got every Major League club there looking at the kid? You know what I mean? Now the kid, 3 years later, fast forward – he's talked about being in the top 5 picks in this year's draft. So it's like, how do you rank that? How did that kid fall so low in the rank? Because he didn't go to perfect game events?
Right. Didn't go to, didn't do those things, you know?
Yeah. So,
but who cares where he ranks? You know? Because you know what? Like, good baseball people in the area said, this kid's a dude. You know, and his dad played in the big leagues.
Yeah. Mark is a great guy.
Mark and I were teammates here in Charlotte and played against each other coming up. And, you know, so, you know, there was some pedigree there that somebody could go, hey, listen, this kid comes with some.
Oh yeah,
you know, something different.
And maybe he did go to rank. Maybe he did go to an event, and he probably didn't perform well, and that's how you ranked him. But I you know what? I had a chance to see that kid every game in high school, and the kid was special. I mean, if you see that kid in long term, you know the kid is special.
You made another point, man. So you know, good baseball people can go watch a kid have a bad day and know that he's a baseball player.
Yes.
And novice guys that only played or seen the game to a certain level are based on performance. And if he goes and he's got to go back and he's got to report to whether it's another assistant coach or whether it's the head coach or whatever, so, well, you know, he punched out three times, you know, but they didn't say, you know, he fouled off again at a 12-pitch at bat of a kid that was throwing 90-plus. You know, he did everything he did defensively. He popped up. He ran it out, you know, but they're based on the results based. And that's, you know, that's not a way to determine whether a player is a player.
No, I mean, it's tough. Listen, again, we're talking about it. It's a business. So you get these kids to go down and showcase, especially like the showcases, all these major national showcases. You got guys throwing 94, 95 every inning. Mm-hmm. How can you really evaluate hitting? Like,
well, you got guys throwing 94, 95 every inning. They can't throw strikes.
Oh, yeah. And how do you evaluate that? I mean, now you write, oh, he's got a live arm. You know what I mean? And it's.
I'm talking about the hitters.
Oh, it's,
you know, I mean, guy that can't, you know, when I got to the big leagues, even though, you know, if you look at my numbers, average wise, you know, not what they were in the minor leagues, you know, my role was different. I was a pinch hitter or whatever, so on and so forth. But I always felt I was more comfortable at the plate in the big leagues than I was anywhere else because these guys had control.
Yeah.
They knew what they were doing. They're going to be around the strike zone. You can get comfortable. You can dig in. You can go. You get kids that are just reaching back and going, you know, just in these velo schools and doing all this other stuff and just trying to throw to the gun, and after every pitch, they turn around, look on the board to see where they're at. But you know how you can't gauge a hitter because he's not getting what he should get to hit.
Because they also have, you know, they're not really working. You know what I mean? Because the hitter's got the pressure of, hey, I have to, you know what I mean, hit a ball in the gap so I can open some eyes. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where pitcher just rearing back and throwing, and every inning he's seeing somebody new, so he can't really say, hey, this guy got me out last time on outside fastball, and you know what I mean? I chased the junk. I'm not going to swing at that. I'm not going to swing at his bad pitch. I'm going to sit on my pitch. Now you got another guy just rear back. So it's tough for the hitter to get in tune. So we're evaluating hitters in a showcase atmosphere where it's really they're at the disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're evaluating pitchers of just pure velocity, and you know, yeah, a lot of these guys do a good job of like arm action, body movement, X, Y, and Z.
Right.
Okay. But you know, because he hit 94, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. But if you look at the 15 pitches he threw that inning, he threw.
Yeah, it was 3-2 in every count. Yeah, loaded the bases up and
He was 3-2 in every account, and they don't walk in showcase, so you can't really gauge if he walked. Now if he does walk a guy, now the batter goes 0-2. Now the batter's got to swing because he's got one more pitch to go, you know, to get punched out on. So it's a lot of it's smoke and mirrors. You know what I mean? You know, I just read a report, you know, on a guy, you know, and I won't mention any names because I know a lot of these people personally. You know, they say, you know, the guy struggled this summer, but he showed tremendous power in batting practice, so that's why they're saying he's going to be such a high draft pick because of batting practice. When did we start evaluating guys in batting practice? Because you know what? If we're evaluating guys in batting practice, hey, let me know when the next major league tryout is because I could go out there.
I can take some BP.
I think I can turn some heads in batting practice being 41 years old.
Run for me now.
Yeah, exactly. Now, can I do it tomorrow is a different story. But it's a matter of this is where we got to, that the kid shows power in batting practice. Mm-hmm. But can't do it in the game. Where I get it, we just talked about the hitter's disadvantage in the game, and just showing it in the batting practice. Where
we call them 4 o'clock warriors, man.
Yeah.
They go out and they can showcase. They get listen, because everything has become a showcase. It's become, you know, get out there, throw four balls from the outfield, two to third, two to home. Ooh, look at that arm strength. Look at that, you know, look at how he comes. No pressure of the game.
Yeah.
No guy, no jet at second going from second to home. You know, and you got to come up and pick clean and get rid of it. You know, it's just, hey, here you go. These guys time it. They go. They get it. They throw. And, you know, and all of a sudden people go, oh, wow, that looks good.
Yeah.
You know, it's tough. Listen, college recruiting you know, I think scouting, I enjoy watching the scouts do their job because they lock in on one player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where college recruiters have to go out and cast a net and
of course they got to get them early. And,
they got to find out who they think can play, and then they got to project on the guy, and then they have to recruit the guy, mm-hmm. And then they got two guys like, okay, I sent the volunteer assistant out, likes this guy. Now the recruiting coordinator has to go see him. And then all of a sudden, well, the head coach has to make the final decision. So now you go through all these tiers, and, you know, by that time you're trying to see 15, 20 other guys, you know, and it's a rat race because they're all running around trying to, you know, determine who's the best guy and who they can get. And, you know, then they got to turn into the salesman.
And I think, you know what, you got to tip your hat to the scouts all across the country because they have the hardest job ever. Because, you know what, all these, you know, showcases and all these blogs that's writing about the top guys, those guys are dudes. Like a blind man could go out
they're
there.
Easy.
Yeah,
they're easy.
Those are the easy guys. Yeah. Now the scouts has got to put their job on the line and say, hey, this kid, I've met the kid. I know the family. This kid is a great kid. This kid's got the like he's got the intangibles of being a big leaguer in 3 years.
Listen, we've seen guys recruiting at the Power Fives, right? The recruiters at the Power Fives. And then they go and they take a head coaching job at a mid-major D1 somewhere in nowhere land, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also they find out I wasn't the recruiter. The university was the recruiter.
Yeah.
The program was the recruiter. It was easy, right? Now it's not easy. Now you got to turn around and sell your program. You got to sell, you know, what your opportunities are
to bring that talent in,
to get them ready in 3 years to be drafted.
That's right.
And you don't have the facilities. You don't have, you know, you don't have the pretty uniforms. You don't have the sponsorships. You don't have all that other stuff.
Now
you got to go like, you know, you got to like believe in me. I love Jack McDowell's line where he's sitting in the bar and he's a chick, right? And it's getting late and the guys have hit on all the hot chicks, right? But he's not so hot and he's at the end of the bar. And when the night's over, guess who's still sitting there? I'm over here, man. I'll take care of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it goes.
I like that one.
It's outstanding, isn't it?
Yep.
That's McDowell, though. That's, you know, that's his mindset. I'm sitting at the end of the bar. He tells me all the time. I'm sitting at the end of the bar. I'm
just
down
waiting.
Here. Yeah, just waiting, man. Listen.
And that's all that stuff. That's right. That's where the good ones and that's where the good scouts and where the good coaches, you know, shine. Where they could take that diamond in the rough and, you know, polish it up in 3 or 4 years. But like, where did this guy come from?
You got to have an artist's eye.
Yes.
Okay. Like I can't walk into the Museum of Art in New York and go, wow, that picture, you know, but I can look at a baseball player.
Yes.
And I've seen several guys that I've seen in the minor leagues that I looked at other people are going, Garrett Anderson was one of them. I saw Garrett Anderson when he was in A-ball and I said, oh my God, this kid's going to be something. They kept, oh, he's too small. He's too skinny. He's too weak. 18 years later in the big leagues, you know, quiet, silent force, but you saw things and, you know, and that's where we're at with, you know, with the recruiting process and, you know, and the parents all jacked up about who's making decisions on our kids and the ranking. I mean, we go down a perfect game. You think everybody that's doing Game Changer and watching the game has baseball experience?
Oh.
Then pushing buttons, man. All of a sudden, oh, this guy hit 85. Oh, send, you know, hit 90. Send out a message. Send out a text.
Yeah.
Or they're all tournament team. Man, we're going, aren't we? They're all tournament.
We could talk.
There's over 60% of the kids that make all tournament.
You hit 300, you're all tournament. You go 1-0, you're all tournament.
So you know. So now the, you know the guy. Why the kid walks around? I was all tournament. You know, like what does that mean to me? That means nothing. It's like when these guys tell me, "Well, I play for this organization. That means nothing to me because you could be, you know, on the fourth team, you know, up, you know, on the other side of the mountains and nowhere, and you know, some guy decided like I'm going to pay $200 to the head dude, and I'm going to buy his uniform so I can say I'm part of this.
That's right.
And you're nothing.
That's right.
We went through it. We talked about it. We went through our tryouts, and we saw guys in these supposedly big-time uniforms showing up all decked out, and they couldn't even make our team.
It's crazy world. I mean, it's just a matter of a status quo. You know, you make the team, and now, you know, you put it all over social media, and, you know, the parents feel great. The kids feel great until at the end of the day.
Yeah, we're a feel-good, hug-me, warm, fuzzy – you know, well, you know, listen, Ray, we sit here all day.
Oh, listen.
Man, we'll lose money because we're not working. We got to go to work. We got things to do,
man.
It
should be the Schaefer and Ray podcast now.
Oh, no, it's like, listen. Yeah, it'll be a – it I don't know. I'm not frustrated. Listen, the beauty of it is it's the greatest game in the world.
Absolutely.
And you know, we because we care about the game.
We're passionate. We're very passionate.
We're passionate. We attack the things that are not good in it.
Yeah.
You know what? And then there's a lot of people out there that are afraid to open their mouths about it, and they know exactly what we're saying.
I think, you know what's the problem, Chase? We're like real true New Yorkers. And you know what? We're in the South, and we're true New Yorkers. We're the thing in New York, you know, a guy don't like you, he'll look at you and just say, you know, I don't like you. Or just say, you know, down here, you know, it's the best. Listen, it changed my life. I love it. But it's still, I'm still a New Yorker where we just speak our mind. Where if I just held a lot of things in, probably would have, I'd probably be a lot further where I am if I just held it in and didn't say it. But it's my upbringing.
Some people are afraid to have enemies.
Yeah.
And some people embrace them. I embrace them. You know why? Keeps me sharp, and I'll say what I want to say, and you either you like it or you don't. I really don't care. I don't care.
That's
you
right.
Know? And you know, if you're passionate about something and you want the best for, you know, the sport and the kids and all that other sort of thing, you step up and you say what you got to say.
That's right.
And there's going to be people out there that we're stepping on their wallets because we're saying something, or you know, why would you say that about me or whatever? Because it's the truth. And if you don't like the truth, you know, you need me on that wall. You want me on that wall.
Hey, you know, we gotta keep pushing them.
If we're not pushing them,
you know what I mean? They get too comfortable.
Amen, man. So, all right. Well, listen, we got things to do. We got a long day.
Oh yeah.
And and a long weekend. Breaking out with our kids for the fall season this weekend. So we're running
first
a little.
Tournament.
We didn't even get to the tournament stuff. They don't even get me going on there.
Oh, that's gonna take another 30. Yeah.
Like we're playing in the fall, and it's like we're playing in perfect game. Like I got to go an hour and a half this way, and then 2 hours that way. You know, it's ridiculous. So we'll fix that though. Too. We'll try. But, all right, man. Well, we appreciate it, Ray. Thank you, Andrew. Again, appreciate it. And this is number 27, the Mike Trout podcast.
Vladimir Guerrero.
Mike Trout, body armor.
Body armor, catfish honor.
There you go.
We threw it all out there. But we appreciate you listening. And we appreciate everybody that has been sharing us with other baseball peeps, man. It's been fun and it's growing. And we're going to attack number one, aren't we?
Sure,
Andrew, man of many words.
Man of many words here.
So appreciate it, and peace out. Thank you.
Peace out. Thank you.